People are staying at home. Airplanes have been parked. Yet Southwest Airlines is trying to expand.
They're clearly making a play for some airports where their rivals already have a presence, in some cases, a really big presence.
We'll look at the company's business strategy and why it sees the pandemic as a time to bet on growth. Plus insight on this week's unemployment claims as COVID-19 cases see a spike. And with fears of a coronavirus spread over Thanksgiving, some employers are offering a warning.
Companies are really going all out to encourage employees to stay safe, releasing a flurry of memos and videos.
It's Thursday, November 19th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. In the United States, the death toll from coronavirus surpassed 250,000, a grim milestone with just a week to go until Thanksgiving. The U.S. faces a third significant surge of cases, with 50,000 deaths linked to COVID-19, reported in the past 60 days based on data from Johns Hopkins University. Aviation is an industry that's been hit particularly hard by the pandemic, and Norwegian Air Shuttle has filed for bankruptcy protection for two of its core units. This marks Europe's biggest airline casualty yet from the pandemic. The airline is well known for offering budget travel options between the U.S. and Europe. Its chief executive said the carrier is seeking a reorganization as it hopes to emerge as a financially stronger and secure airline. A bit later in the podcast, a closer look at the strategy by Southwest Airlines, which is trying to position itself for growth amid all of this economic uncertainty. The audit results of Georgia's election are expected later today, as the Secretary of State there is required to certify results by Friday. A manual recount was ordered after the initial count showed Joe Biden narrowly winning the state. 5 million votes across the state had to be recounted by hand. The Journal's Alexa Course has more.
We know that President-elect Joe Biden is leading in the state, and Georgia's Secretary of State, who's a Republican, he's overseeing this process. He said he doesn't think that will change. He thinks Biden will still be declared the winner of the state. But what we could be seeing is kind of smaller changes in vote totals. There are a lot of humans involved in this process. People sometimes make mistakes, especially when they're working really long hours.
Weekly unemployment claims are out later this morning, and they're expected to remain high at around 700,000. We asked the WSJ's labor economics reporter, Eric Morath, about what could shape this week's data.
What we'll specifically be looking for this week and in the coming weeks is if there's an uptick in people seeking benefits and people being laid off as we see the coronavirus surge in parts of the country, and most importantly, see states adding new restrictions. We've typically seen it's not necessarily the infection rate, but the restrictions that correlate with increased layoffs. And we certainly saw places like Michigan and Ohio put on new restrictions in recent days.
We'll have coverage of the unemployment claims coming up on the evening edition of What's News. With the recent advances surrounding COVID-19 vaccines, there is hope the economy will accelerate its recovery in the medium term. And investors are wondering when we'll see inflation pick up again. Joining me now from London is the Journal's Anna Hertenstein. She's part of our markets team. Anna, glad you're here.
Hey, good morning.
So Anna, is there any evidence that prices are rising on products we use every day?
So that's an interesting question, because earlier in the year, there was a lot of concern that we could see inflation really start picking up, maybe even rising to levels that we haven't seen in years. That was because of the huge amount of stimulus from central banks and governments to try to deal with the pandemic. But in reality, there's almost been no inflation. In Europe, we've actually seen several months of deflation, and the latest data in the US showed that prices are actually flat. So essentially, the pandemic's blow to the economy, people's spending habits changing from the lockdowns, from higher levels of unemployment, and all the non-essential stores having to close, this is actually outweighing any inflationary pressures from stimulus.
So let's take a long-term view, because eventually vaccines are expected to be distributed. Does that change the picture when it comes to pricing at all?
Yeah, so going forward, this is expected to change. And you're right, vaccines are probably the key to this. Once they're widely distributed and life returns more or less to normal, economists are generally expecting a big round in growth, and inflation just finally started picking up. Actually, earlier this week, the Fed's chairman, Jerome Powell, said that he sees all this news on vaccines as something that will be great in the medium term. But today and tomorrow, it's very much all about the spread of the virus. And that means low inflation.
Anna Hertenstein in London, many thanks.
Thanks so much.
One sector of the market getting a lot of attention is the airline industry. We'll look at one carrier's bold approach toward the future after the break. The pandemic has devastated demand for air travel. In response, many airlines have pulled back, offering fewer flights, cutting jobs, and rewriting their route maps. Yet during all of this upheaval, one carrier stands out. Southwest Airlines is taking aggressive steps to expand. It's a high-stakes gamble, but Southwest is betting it'll help the company emerge from the pandemic stronger than before. Let's take a look at the company's strategy and why it's got competitors talking with the journal's Allison Sider, who covers the airline industry for us. Hi, Allison. It's always good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Allison, we should be clear. Southwest is facing plenty of struggles. Revenue in the third quarter is down, it's burning cash, and it's still dealing with the 737 MAX, which won't return to service for a while yet. But at the same time, it's adding cities like Palm Springs, California, Steamboat Springs in Colorado. It's also moving into big airports like Chicago O'Hare as well. How can this be?
Yes, definitely. You know, there's no airline that has really escaped the devastating impact of the pandemic, and Southwest is no exception. You know, they're on track to lose money this year. You know, really for the first time in, you know, they're breaking a 47-year streak. It's a huge deal for the company, and they're talking about and seriously considering, you know, furloughs also for the first time in their history. So, you know, this is really unprecedented for them. But the strategy of sort of being opportunistic in a downturn, that's not unusual for them. That's something they've done time and again in the past, and that's sort of how they've grown throughout their history. So in some ways, it's not surprising to see them doing that again.
Okay, let's get into specifics. What's the strategy? What opportunity does Southwest see here?
How they explained it was that the way their network is now, they have, you know, multiple flights a day in all of these cities. And that's been, you know, offering that kind of schedule is sort of a big advantage for them. But now that demand is down so much, they just don't need to be offering, you know, 5, 6, 7 flights a day in some of these places. So it means they have extra planes and extra people who they need to deploy somewhere else. So they sort of looked all over the country and thought, like, where could we really quickly move that would kind of help bring in revenue right away for us. And, you know, that's how they picked some of these new cities.
As you mentioned, Southwest may break its profitability streak, yet it does have a lot of things working in its favor. It has less debt and lower costs compared to its rivals.
Yeah, I mean, Southwest, it's hard to say any airline is well positioned right now, but Southwest just came into this crisis with a lot of advantages. You know, they had a lot less debt than some of their biggest rivals. So even though they've taken on a lot of debt, you know, during the pandemic, you know, they still have more cash than debt, which is a pretty rare position to be in for an airline. And, you know, that's something that sort of gives them a little bit of cushion and a little bit of flexibility to try things.
Are the rivals like Spirit and Allegiant watching? They offer low fares and find opportunities at emptier airports. And is this a big risk for Southwest?
Well, rivals are definitely watching. You know, a United executive sort of said, you know, at O'Hare, you know, they said, we have the high ground. And, you know, they're not too worried from what they said. But, you know, there's so few people traveling right now, and the recovery is expected to be so rocky. I really think airlines are just competing over every passenger. You know, one great example of that is how the big airlines like United and American Delta have done away with change fees, or most domestic change fees anyway. You know, that was a huge selling point for Southwest for years. So, you know, that's something that's going to make the competition even more heated.
So what could that mean for travelers? More options, more competitive fares?
Yes, I mean, over the course of its history, Southwest going into a market, you know, often brought fares down significantly and sort of brought new people into traveling. It's something that the Department of Transportation once called the Southwest effect. So, you know, always, you know, tends to increase competition and bring down fares when a new entrant jumps into a market.
Allison Sider covers the airline industry for the Wall Street Journal. Allison, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, it's not just public health officials warning about the risks of large gatherings ahead of Thanksgiving. Employers are also eager to get their message across. But just how far can companies go to restrict what their employees do? Chip Cutter covers workplace issues for the Journal and has been investigating what employers are doing.
Companies are really going all out to encourage employees to stay safe, releasing a flurry of memos and videos and guidance, just telling people to largely stay in their homes, to not gather with other people if possible. But they really can only do so much. Employers can't really dictate how people spend their personal time. And so while employers can put guidance and recommendations out there, they really can't force people to do anything. And some employment lawyers we talked to also said that there are legal liabilities raised if employers monitor people's social media activity, for example, or, you know, are punitive in their actions based on what people might do on the Thanksgiving holiday.
You can hear a full interview with Chip in the WSJ Your Money Briefing podcast or read the full story on our website. And that's what's news for this Thursday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, follow the day's top news and business stories on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.